Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, as we continue to process the aftermath of the 47-25 loss at Tennessee from this past weekend, we might as well start with what we heard from head coach Mike McCarthy on Monday, which I termed it a very assertive press conference. Other writers, reporters on the beat have given it other words, defiant in some ways. However you want to characterize it, what I came away with it is Mike McCarthy has every belief in what he's doing and that this team is going to turn it around. Whether it will be soon enough to make the playoffs or not, we have to see how that plays out. But he believes that that this team is going to turn it around and they're going to do it his way.
Yeah, and I thought that was probably the biggest message that came out of McCarthy's news conference. And he spoke for, I think, almost 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Just on a various amount of topics. But the biggest one right in the heart of it was the question of basically where does the team go from here? And I thought McCarthy stood up there and, I mean, he gave a very steadfast, confident approach in terms of what he believes this team is still capable of. And, you know, even though it is 4-5, even though, as you pointed out, you know, it's the first time that they've been this far into a season and below 500 since 2008. But at the same time, I think McCarthy, you know, he's seen the defense, what it could do earlier this season. He's seen the spurts of what the offense can do. It's not easy just to put everything together and say, okay, now it's fixed. But I think there's been too many positive signs with this team this year to disqualify them from being able to turn this around. But certainly the consistency has to get ramped up. And his biggest message was it's not about blanket statements or, you know, different types of, you know, that kind of rhetoric. It's mostly about staying within themselves and understanding that we're in control here. And the only thing we got to focus on right now is Washington.
Yeah. And in some ways, that's not what the fans want to hear. I think there are a lot of fans that want to blow the thing up and completely change the approach and start all over. What do you have to lose? You're 4-5. That's not Mike McCarthy's way. He stood up there and said, hey, I'm not into shock and awe. I'm not going to torch the landscape.
Right.
He's not going to completely upset the apple cart and turn everything upside down when, as he focused on, his program, his culture, has produced 7 consecutive playoff appearances. And yeah, things don't look good right now. He's not hiding from the obvious.
Right.
Things don't look good. The football team does not look good. But he believes in his culture and what he's built here in terms of how they go to work every day, how they focus on improving, and then getting that improvement to translate to game day. And yes, time is somewhat running out. You're in the second half of the season now. You don't want to be 4-5 at this point. But Mike McCarthy is not going to completely change his approach. He's going to stick with what he believes in. And when you think about it, that's what the players need to rally around. The players need to rally around a guy who believes in what he's doing and believes that this is going to work.
Yeah, and I thought something, Mike, that actually really went, you know, kind of went home with me a little bit was, you know, Mike McCarthy, there were certainly some comments he made, and, you know, everybody likes to pull those out and create a graphic out of it and send it off on social media. But you saw a few players, including Demaryius Randle and Kenny Clark, you know, both kind of acknowledging it and saying, yeah, that's what this is about here. It's about being real and understanding what we need to do and the confidence that you can still get there. And I think that's a message that is resonating when people ask, you know, how is this locker room connecting with the coach's message? This is still something, and this team knows, I mean, the culture they've built here, there's 10 years of blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into that.
Yeah.
It's not just a run-by-night kind of operation. I mean, this is something that they've put a lot of time and effort into making happen, and there's confidence that even if it is a situation like this, Dom Capers talked about it too. He doesn't know if it's strictly a three-game losing streak that drops you below 500, but they've faced adversity before, and every season there's always bumps in the road, and this is another thing the Packers are looking to overcome.
Yeah, and Mike McCarthy too, he even got a little introspective on a personal level. You know, in really what's probably been the most trying circumstances for this team since 2013 when Aaron Rodgers was out with the broken collarbone and whatnot. But he said, hey, you know, as a head coach, these are the times you actually enjoy. These are the challenges. This is what you're in this business for, because it is a hard business. It's tough to win on a consistent basis. And when you kind of get knocked back, when you kind of get knocked down a peg or two, this is like, okay, I mean, as a head coach for McCarthy and for his program in general, he's like, okay, we're going to find out what we're made of here. And And he, I think he's going to impress that upon the players that, hey, this is about who we are and what we're made of and how we're going to respond when things look very, very difficult from the outside.
And how many times have we heard, you know, whether it was, you know, players in the locker room, the coaches talking about, you know, whatever the noise level is, whatever's going on outside, inside it has to be tight, it has to be unified. And, you know, whether it was Julius Peppers, some of these other guys talking about this, the message is clear that they feel like they're going to find a way. They have always found a way. And it's a different challenge. In some ways, it's like 2013, but in some ways, it isn't.
Yeah.
It's just about trying to get those wins and realizing at the end of the day, no matter what's happened, you're still one game behind in the division.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we did hear from some guys in the locker room on Monday, and I want to touch on some of their comments when we get back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, with the players we heard from in the locker room, one of the comments that stood out the most was from Julius Peppers, the veteran pass rusher. And he talked about, he certainly exuded his own confidence that that this defense is going to turn it around, essentially saying, hey, that's how I'm built. I'm not, you know, I'm not a pessimist. I'm, you know, I'm always an optimist. I'm going to believe in where we're going. But really, the crux of what he said is that what this defense needs to do is find a way to make that one play at a certain time in the game that's going to flip the script. And really, the entire first half against Tennessee, there just wasn't that one play that flipped things and that changed the momentum, and that's what this defense needs to find.
Right, and Dom Capers and Blake Martinez both said the same thing, too, in that they felt the 75-yard touchdown that DeMarco Murray got right off the bat really took the wind out of the Packers' sails. Now, you could talk about adversity defense and things of that nature, but at the end of the day, when you've hung your hat on that for so long and then you take a big punch in the face like that, that is difficult to rally behind, and they felt like that might have been something that really carried through for the next two or three series. On the other side of that, as Peppers said, you look at the big play production. That's what this defense is based out of when they've played at their best. When you think of the second half of 2014, that was the biggest hallmark of this defense. And right now, from where they're at, they just haven't received that. So whether it's the secondary, whether it's the pass rush, getting home, there's a lot of different factors that play into it. But that overwhelming, you know, kind of difference maker of turnovers, the turnover production, is ultimately what the Packers need. And that's going to be the remedy for what kind of ails them.
Yeah, and I think what Dom Capers said about that opening 75-yard touchdown run, you know, really kind of knocking the team back and having that affect them for the next few series, I think that's another illustration of the young players that need to really develop the pro, the NFL psyche, that you have to be able to overcome that. We heard from Aaron Rodgers after the Colts game, and he talked about after the 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown to start the game, the team needs to be mentally tougher than that.
Yeah.
And then we saw it again, the 75-yard touchdown run to open the game in Tennessee, and we're hearing that it affected the team for too long. And I think a lot of that is the psychological message that needs to get through is you really have to be able to flush that stuff and go out and keep playing, because it's a 60-minute ball game. And for everything that went wrong against the Colts and against the Titans, there were plays that the Packers could have made at some certain key junctures that would have gotten them right back in the game.
Yeah, and if you're looking for something that was just sort of the you know, just everything coming together in terms of what's been wrong with the Packers right now, you look at, you get the you know, the special teams, you stop the onside kick, you go 3-and-out on offense, you can't down the ball on special teams with a pretty decent punt from Jake Shum.
Yep.
And then the first play you come out and give up the touchdown. I mean, that's all three phases coming up short in rapid succession.
Yep.
So those are the things that, yeah, I mean, when things aren't going your way, you have to realize it and try to find ways to stop it. But I think the thing, too, when you look specifically at the defense, they are still ranked 10th in the league in total yards. I mean, they still are, you know, they've been giving up too many points recently, but the whole weight of the season isn't eliminated by the past two games. And I think that's the one message that Dom Capers was trying to send when talking to the media, and you know, I would imagine was also his message to the team, is that we're still a good defense. We've still done a lot of positive things this year to put us in this situation. And I think that that's one of the things, too, as Peppers and HaHa Clinton Dix, other guys talked about, is that they didn't talk about, okay, we need to find a way. They're saying it definitively, we will find a way.
Yeah.
And I think that confidence just hasn't been lost, even when there has been some letdowns the past couple weeks.
Yeah, I agree with you. The players believe that they're better than what they put on the field. Now they have to go out there and show it. And I think the professional pride in them, they're going to keep working at it. They're going to show it. When you talk about sort of trying to make that one play that flips it, obviously a turnover would be the best case scenario. But you look at the Tennessee game, you know, Kentrell Bryce lays a big hit on Delanie Walker to break up a third down pass, a deep seam ball over the middle. The offense takes over and the momentum starts to shift a little bit. In the second half, Morgan Burnett comes on a blitz from the secondary. Mariota almost gets away from him, but he manages to dive, reach out, trip him up by the shoes, and gets the sack. And the offense gets the ball back and the momentum starts to shift a little bit. It's one play per series that the defense has to make. And when they can make that one play, everything looks all right. But when you don't make that one play, then the other team, it's like the momentum starts to get too tough to stop the other way. And that's the problem they're having right now.
Even when the turnovers weren't there earlier this season, the two things the Packers did incredibly well were their run defense and their third down defense when things were clicking. And both of those things have kind of, you know, drifted from them a little bit. Dom Capers was quick to remind everybody, if you take away that 75-yard carry, DeMarco Murray only had 3 yards per carry, per attempt. But that isn't the world you live in.
Right.
But also, that's the message you have to teach your guys, is that, hey, we did stop this guy. You just need to stop the bleeding and eliminate that one big play.
Yeah, exactly. It's the one big play, and those are the ones that are killing this defense right now. But with that, we'll throw it to a break, and we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, we also heard from special teams coordinator Ron Zook on Monday talking about a few different issues that came up in the Tennessee game. And you know, we got into an interesting little dialogue with regards to the muff punt by Trevor Davis. And, you know, Zook wasn't going to say anything about the officials that was going to get him in trouble with the NFL. But he said, the film that I saw, you know, Davis wasn't given the opportunity to make the fair catch because when he makes that fair catch signal, he's protected from contact until the ball touches the ground. And it's right there on the video, and unfortunately that call didn't go the Packers' way.
Two things that Ron Zook said that I thought really stood out is, one, just from Trevor Davis's perspective, the Packers have a lot of confidence in the young man. As he said, it's something that he has not done a lot in terms of bobbling a football. And I thought one of the things, too, even before he had the 55-yard return a couple weeks ago, I thought he showed a lot of poise back there. I mean, he had some pretty gutsy calls in terms of the pressure was starting to descend upon him, and he stood in there and made a couple extra yards out of it rather than calling for the fair catch. In this particular instance, he does call for it, bobbles it, and I don't blame Bo Brinkley. I think it's the natural human reaction when you see the ball start to come out that you want to make, you know, go and try to make the play.
For sure.
But as you and I both talked about, and it seems like also as Ron Zook saw, it looked like Brinkley made contact with him before the ball did hit the ground, which should have been fair catch interference. So it's the way things go. I don't think Zook was making excuses for it. He wasn't sure, as much as you and I talked about yesterday, about whether or not it was a reviewable penalty or how that works with it being a turnover play.
Yeah, I don't know if on the replay, with it being a turnover play, it's automatically reviewed. I don't know if the replay review can look at it and go, oh, wait a minute, he signaled for fair catch and the ball didn't hit the ground. You know, I don't know what the rules are, whether it was missed or whether the replay reviews are just not allowed to go there.
Yeah, Zook also didn't want to get into whether or not they actually sent it to the league. I would imagine they did, still, not to speculate, but I mean, they usually send, I think teams send, what is it, like 7-8 different plays?
There's usually a handful of plays every week, and with for nothing else on this one, you'd want to get a clarification. Well, you know, like, yeah. What exactly is the replay looking at? Can they look at that or can they not?
Well, and Zook said, too, this isn't something that was foreign to them. He showed the special teams a similar play, I think he said, before he got there, that ended up hurting the Packers on the opposite side of it, on the Bo Brinkley side, where a guy was bobbling and then they had a fair catch interference issue there. So this is something that they studied, and I think everybody that's, you know, well accustomed to special teams understood and acknowledged that that isn't how it should have played out, but it did. Mm-hmm. And certainly Tennessee was able to score, and it just seemed like that was the one instance there, and you know, nothing against Trevor Davis, but that was the one instance where it was like, okay, the offense might actually get a chance here to get the Packers back into this thing. And you know,
well, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the score was 21-7 at that point. The Packers had just scored their first touchdown. The defense gets its first stop of the game. And so that was an opportunity to actually cut it to a one-score game by halftime. Yeah. And instead, you have the turnover. The Titans go in and get their fourth touchdown, and it's 28-7, and you're down by 21 points again.
Yeah, and you know, flipping things on another positive note, and Zook was asked about this too, the Joe Thomas play at the beginning of the game, the surprise onside kick, something he said they were not expecting, in terms of what Tennessee has shown this year. But, you know, it's something that they condition themselves for, and they're always aware that with those blockers up front, you have to be prepared for if that might happen. And credit to Joe Thomas, a guy that is not a natural ball handler, being able to jump on top of that thing and actually gave the Packers offense the ball at the 49-yard line of the Titans to try getting something going early on.
Yeah, for sure. I'll correct myself. It might have been – the score might have been 28-10, not 21-7 on the muff punt. But nonetheless, it was a chance for the Packers to possibly get within 10 or 11 by halftime, and you end up down 19 at the half. The other thing, too, when the Packers tried their own onside kick, you know, Mason Crosby goes with the chop kick that bounces way up in the air. And again, this is just a detail issue. You have a guy offsides, breaks the plane of the 50-yard line. They were onsiding from the 50 because of the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on the touchdown. And then Ron Zook also said, you know, a guy missed his blocking assignment. So no matter how good Mason Crosby's kick is, you know, if you don't take care of those little details, you're not going to be able to make that play that can possibly swing the game back in your favor.
And Zook made it very clear. He thought if they would have been able to make that blocking assignment, also you didn't have the penalty, that they would have been able to go for that ball.
Yeah.
Because it did go 10 yards. He was very clear on that he thought that would have been something that would have been a possible turnover for them. So Mason Crosby's excellent at that. We've seen it over the last, you know, 5-6 years now of what he can do in that capacity, and unfortunately the Packers just couldn't get it in that situation.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we throw it to a break, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 12 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we'll look briefly here before we go at the situation with the Packers going to face the Redskins. Washington in quite the dogfight in the NFC East. They're coming off a big win over the Minnesota Vikings, but yet now they've watched the Dallas Cowboys pull out a last-second victory in Pittsburgh to go to 8-1. They watched on Monday night the New York Giants, another one of their division rivals, pull out a one-point victory. So while Washington at 5-3-1 is in a decent spot, the division is getting away from them a little bit with regards to Dallas, and with Philadelphia right behind them at 5-4, they're looking at possibly being one loss away from falling to last place in their division.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about the small margin for error, not only in the conference, but specifically in that division. This is the same Bengals team that Washington went over the pond and tied with. They come in with a one-point difference against the New York Giants. And how is the game decided? Ben McAdoo going for it on 4th and 3, down 20-14. 3-yard touchdown pass from Eli Manning to Sterling Shepard gives them what ends up being the decisive lead. But then the kind of ping-ponging the rest of the fourth quarter, it kind of speaks to just how crazy this whole conference has been in this first half of the season.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and certainly no lack of motivation on the part of the Packers, as we've been talking about. The Packers have lost 3 in a row, 4 of their last 5, but still only 1 game back in their own division. The Lions are the only team in the NFC North kind of feeling good about themselves right now.
Because they didn't get to play.
and I believe the Lions now have won 4 out of 5 games since their loss in Chicago dropped them to 1-3, and everybody was talking about Jim Caldwell's future and where the Lions were headed. Now they're at 5-4, feeling pretty good about themselves. The Vikings still dealing with more injuries. They're on a 4-game losing streak. There's just so much stuff to be sorted out here in these two divisions, both the North and the East in the NFC, and these divisions are going to keep playing each other.
Yeah.
I mean, both the Lions and the Vikings still have to play the Cowboys. The Packers, as we know, are playing the Redskins and the Eagles in back-to-back weeks here. There's a lot of back and forth here between these two divisions as things sort themselves out the second half of the year.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing, too. I mean, you talk about the Lions. Look at the Giants with Ben McAdoo. I mean, people were questioning him in the first month of the season.
Yeah, they had lost 3 in a row, and now all of a sudden they've won 4 in a row.
They're 6-3 in a conference that might only take 9 or 10 wins to secure a wild card. So they're finding a way then, too. So it just goes to show you that, I mean, you're never out of this thing. I mean, everybody, you've seen different people trending in different directions with Minnesota, you know, having their 4-game losing streak now. The Lions on the up. It's all there for the Packers right now. I mean, that's the big message I think that has to come across.
Yeah, for sure. Plenty of stuff to sort out as the rest of the season goes along. But we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. The team account is at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.